I'm WBJC's Jonathan Polevsky, and this is a Baltimore Symphony Orchestra podcast for Samuel Barber's Symphony No. 1. When the symphony was first created in the early 18th century, the average length was around 10 or 12 minutes. By the time we get to Mozart and Haydn's mature works of the late 18th century, length has increased to about 30 minutes. Beethoven's Ninth Symphony of 1824 runs around 70 minutes, and some of the longer late 19th century symphonies of Mahler and Bruckner are almost 90 minutes. Is bigger always better? Does size truly matter? Or is it possible to deliver all that symphonic goodness and brilliance in a crisp, succinct, 20-minute package? Is there a composer who can do such thing? Is such a thing really possible? Yes, Virginia. There is such a symphony, and the man who wrote it was the spectacular American composer Samuel Barber, who actually was not from Virginia, but from beautiful Westchester, Pennsylvania. A few words on Samuel Barber before we talk about his first symphony. He lived from 1910 to 1981. He came from a very comfortable home. His father was a physician and his mother a pianist. The family was quite musical. His aunt Louise Homer sang in the Metropolitan Opera in New York, and his uncle Sidney Homer wrote art songs. Barber decided on a musical career at the age of 9 and tried to write his first opera the year after. Barber's precocity came along at the perfect time, because in 1922, the Curtis Institute of Music opened in Philadelphia. Barber enrolled at age 14, 1924, and studied piano, voice, and composition. If you're wondering whether Barber was a wunderkind, the answer is, heck yes. If you want proof, go with thou to YouTube and check out his School for Scandal overture written at the age of 21. It sparkles. In 1938, Arturo Toscanini and his NBC Symphony performed his Adagio for Strings, and Barber became famous. While still in his 20s, Barber won a Pulitzer Traveling Scholarship and the American Prix de Rome. This allowed the composer to journey to Italy's capital and compose. The first symphony was begun in 1935 and completed the following year. It was premiered in Rome by the Augusteo Orchestra, conducted by Bernardino Molinari on December the 13th, 1936. The work was dedicated to the composer's partner, Giancarlo Menotti. In 1937, it received its American premiere with the Cleveland Orchestra and was performed in Carnegie Hall by the New York Philharmonic, conducted by Artur Rudzinski. Barber's first symphony is in one movement, as opposed to the usual four. However, within that single movement, we have four distinct sections, each of which corresponds to what one would expect in a full four-movement work. Section 2 of the symphony is a fast scherzo, section 3 is a lyrical andante, and section 4 is a finale in the form of a passacaglia. Worry not, all of this will be explained in seconds. Barber wasn't the first person to write a symphony in one movement. One only has to look to the Finnish composer Jean Sibelius to find one. Sibelius's Seventh Symphony is indeed in one movement, and Barber would have known it well. Barber's first movement, or if you prefer, his first section of this one-movement symphony, like almost all well-behaved first movements of symphonies, is written in sonata form. Sonata form contains three large sections: an exposition where we meet our themes, a development where they are manipulated, and a recapitulation where we meet them again. In terms of themes, we usually have three: a dramatic first theme, a lyrical second theme, and finally some kind of closing or wrap-it-up theme. Let's just call them heroic, lyrical, and closing, and get to know them. Here's theme one, heroic and grand. Here is theme two, lyrical and beautiful. And here's theme three, all set to wrap things up. Now that we've met the themes, Barber offers us some really fine development material which ends the first section of the piece. And at this point, we would expect some sort of recapitulation of the themes. But Barber begins the scherzo or the next section of the symphony. Here's what it sounds like. Now, if you'll permit me to do a little demonstrating, here's the theme slowed down. And here is the theme slowed down with the repeated notes taken out. Oh my gosh, it's Heroic Theme 1. Barber has managed to have his cake and eat it too. He's managed to both recapitulate the theme and also start a new section of the piece. The third Andante lyrical section uses the same idea. Barber takes his second lyrical theme from the first section and transforms it. Here they are back to back. Here's the theme that opens the third section of the piece, a beautiful lyric theme. And here is beautiful lyric theme 2 from the first section. I realize I'm overusing the word lyrical, but this section of the piece is exceptionally lyrical and beautiful. Barber was trained as a singer and wrote beautiful songs. May I once again suggest a trip to YouTube where you will find Barber's own recordings of his singing. May I also be so bold as to suggest you listen to his exquisite Knoxville Summer 1915 for soprano and orchestra. It might be life-changing. I know it was for me. The last section of the piece is a passacaglia. Barber has a 6-bar theme. He's going to repeat the 6-bar theme over and over again. While the bass plays the theme, the upper voices play variations of it. By the way, the passacaglia theme is just a variant of our heroic theme. Here is the theme from the passacaglia again. And here is our heroic theme from section 1. Now, there's only one theme Barber hasn't reused in this piece, and that's the closing theme. Remember him? Here's what he sounds like. And here is Barber reusing it just before the piece ends. So what's great about Samuel Barber's First Symphony? Well, first, the quality of his themes is excellent. Whether lyrical or heroic, they are always interesting. Second, the orchestration is first rate, especially for a composer in his 20s writing his first symphony. Third, the economy of the work. The Sierra Club would be pleased. Everything is recycled. In a brief 20 minutes, Barber manages to take us on a remarkable journey. While every second seems to be planned out, the work still manages to sound spontaneous. A few months ago, National Public Radio was asking the American conductor, Joanne Folletta, what she thought was the great American symphony, and she chose Barber's First. My answer would have been Copland Third, a huge, monumental, 40-minute giant, complete with the fanfare for the common man. After spending some time with Barber's jewel of a symphony, maybe Maestro Folletta is right. America's already a huge country, and maybe we need something small and beautifully crafted to represent its greatness. I'm WBJC's Jonathan Polevsky, and this has been a Baltimore Symphony Orchestra podcast for Samuel Barber's Symphony No. 1.